The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. All right, good afternoon, everybody. It's about 4:50 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, March 21st. Happy March Madness to those celebrating. I figured I had a couple people asking me over the last few weeks if I do anything else or if I, you know, play real sports. I do. I bet real sports too. I'm not actually like handicapping a lot of the sports I play. There's only so many hours in the day, so I choose to focus and originate in League of Legends, and everything else is usually just casual. I do play awards markets pretty heavy, like for heavy stakes here, and I've done very, very well with them over the past few years. That's kind of a weird, difficult thing to do any kind of content for, or I would release it, but if I ever see anything, I'll mention it on here. Other than that, it's mostly just casual stuff. I play futures because I don't have the hours in the day to, like, you know, watch all these games, but, you know, just like anybody else, if I'm watching the games and stuff, you know, I like having a little skin in the game. Obviously, much smaller stakes when I'm not originating, but I played some stuff for March Madness. I put some stuff over on the Patreon for the first round here, as well as whatever futures I had out for March Madness. So let me know if you guys like this kind of stuff. If you do, I'll put it out once in a while. If you don't, then that's cool too. No big deal. Anyway, off to a decent start there. Long Beach State covers by the hook for us the last second. Morehead State looking good through the first half. They were only down by one. Almost got that first half money line home. Dayton just getting started. They're up early. Akron's the only loser we've had so far. So for League, we had a bit of a strange morning here. Another donut for the LPL. Just back-to-back shutout days. The market kicking my ass in the LPL right now. Now, I'll admit, like, over the last few days, if you look at what I played, you know, RA map one, Ultra Prime. I'm pissed at Ultra Prime for losing that third game. Ultra Prime had Infernal Soul and a nice composition and just somehow found a way to lose that game to EDG because they just could not be coordinated for a fight to save their lives. And they completely shit stomped EDG in the first game. They were up like 10k at 20 minutes. So like, and they lost the series. And I'm a little bit pissed off at them for that. But you know, the game two was a pretty decisive win for EDG. So I guess I can't be that mad. OMG BLG was the day before. I had map one OMG. They ended up winning map two. You know, bad beat there. Anyone's Legend couldn't get a map off LNG to save their lives. I'm running a little bit cold in the LPL. Like, if you look at just the past, I don't know, week. Let's see, the 16th was, if you go since Monday, like just the 18th on, I am down quite a bit. I'm down minus 4.532 units in the LPL. So I've been running a little bit cold. I didn't have a great weekend in the LPL either. So, yeah, I don't know. Not great. But on the plus side, the LCK has been pretty good to me the past few days. So we were up plus 2.7 in the LCK. I ended up like basically a wash today. I think we were up like a tenth of a unit or something. So LCK, interesting match in the LCK this morning. We had Kwangdong Freaks getting the 2-0 win over D plus Kia in a bit of a stunner. I mentioned yesterday that this was a match that like this was like a dog or pass situation, mostly because this was a must win for Kwangdong, and D plus was really only battling for seeding in this match. They didn't really have a chance to they could really only swap between 4 and 5 with KT Rolster. So they didn't really have too much to play for here. While Kwangdong needed this to lock up a playoff spot, they were trying to fend off FearX. First game was looking like one-way traffic for D plus. They were up almost 6,000 gold at 20 minutes or so. Kwangdong were stacking dragons, but this D plus Kia setup, they had just a crazy engaged composition, and you know, aiming got pretty fed. It was looking like it was gonna get there, and then they had this weird botched setup near the Baron. I think it was the second Baron. No, I think it was the second Baron set. No, it was the first Baron. I apologize. They had this really weird setup where they tried to pick off. I forget who they tried to pick somebody off. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Doodoo. They tried to pick off Doodoo, and ended up just like overcommitting into a huge Aurelion Sol ultimate from Bulldog, and Kwangdong like won the fight and took the Baron. And it was like, oh, holy shit, like this just got very real. Because Bulldog got like tremendously fed, and with the setup that D Plus had, they had no way to answer like the Rylai slow and the ultimate and all that. And like once they were in, they were stuck. And Kwangdong's composition was basically just like a blender. It was like they had the huge AoE blender and then set up the resets for Aatrox and Cuz. Didn't mention this either, but Quantum got the start for Kwangdong in this game at support. He had a very, very good series, I thought. The second game was a little bit strange. It was an 8-2 win for Kwangdong, so our kill total over didn't get there, but because of the plus money, that ended up getting us even on the day. Yeah. Very strange one. The second one was more or less like fully controlled by Kwangdong the whole time. It just wasn't a very bloody affair. When you look at these team compositions, it's a little surprising that it wasn't. Interesting, we saw Syndra. We haven't seen Syndra in a little bit. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, D Plus with kind of a stunner here. Or not D Plus, Kwangdong with kind of a stunner here. Hanwha Life KT Rolster, the first match was an absolute shit show of a match. Super entertaining, but got our kill totals home in maps 1 and 2. I was really, in hindsight, I should have played it in map 3 also, just because of how these two were playing today. But I know most of the time Hanwha Life matches, they tend to be, you know, if they lose the first, they end up, usually in game 3, they shut the door and they play a very Hanwha-esque kind of game, so I didn't end up doing that. But yeah, interesting. I think a Viper actually set the single game record for kills for the spring. Not a, what's it called? It wasn't like a huge, it was 14 kill. He went 14-0-9 on Zeri in this game, kind of a vengeance play. And, sorry, I definitely just like spilled water on my desk. I'm like, as I'm recording this. Anyway, yeah, Hanwha just absolutely nuclear for DFS. Kill total overs were a slam dunk in this series. All right, moving on to the Friday morning slate. We have a 5-match slate here in the LCK and LPL for Friday. We have week 8, day 5 in the LPL. We have Fun plus Phoenix, minus 407 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at minus 126 against Royal Never Give Up, plus 308 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps at plus 104, minus 1.5 at plus 770. RNG, 2-7 straight up as dogs, 2-7 against the map spread. FPX, 3-1 as favorites, 1-3 against the map spread. This is an interesting spot. This is the Milky Way revenge game. Not revenge, but like, you know, this time it's personal game for Milky Way. For those that don't know, this is RNG are the team that has him on loan. He is under contract with RNG. He is just on loan to FPX. Whenever they call him back, they can call him back whenever they want to. I would imagine that that's going to happen at some point, based on what we've seen from them and from Wei, who is just having a struggling season after otherwise being pretty impressive in his career. I made this pretty close to market price. I would lean toward the FPX side of things, or I would play this like map to map, like FPX map 1, RNG map 2. FPX have been looking very, very good this season, but then like their last match, they honestly should have lost 0-2 to Rare Atom. They ended up winning the series 2-1, but they probably should have lost that 0-2. Got out of the first game alive there. Now, FunPlus have already locked a playoff spot. They're just battling for seeding now. They can actually pass Ninjas in Pajamas, and depending on the result of the top esports match, they could pass top as well. More than like they're battling for a top 3 or 4 seed, which would be 2 buys. So, yeah, like they've already locked in a buy. They already locked in, you know, a 1-round bye. It's just that they're battling. I mean, they have a 2-match lead on Invictus, so I doubt Invictus is going to catch them. It's possible, but I doubt it. They're mostly just battling for that 4 or better. See who's going to be the 4 or 5 between them and Ninjas in Pajamas at this point. And top esports, maybe, if they drop a series. So this match matters, but it also kind of doesn't. We've seen in the LPL that some of these teams don't really care about multiple buys. They other times they do. I mostly just think this is like a pretty close to fair price. And, I don't have any appetite for RNG. This team is an absolute dumpster fire right now. I know they've picked up a couple wins and we've been on the right side of them in a couple wins, but I want nothing to do with this team. There's a couple teams that I just want nothing to do with, and the market is a little bit more bullish on than I am. The market's not bullish on RNG. I think this price is pretty fair, but I don't really have the appetite to go RNG, but this is definitely like a dog or pass situation. I would not play the FPX maps red here. If anything, I'd play this map to map, like RNG map 2, FPX map 1 kill spreads or something like that, but no play from me in this one. Thunder Talk, plus 500 on the money line, plus 1.5 mass at plus 145, again, minus 1.5 at plus 1204. Against Top Esports, minus 728 on the money line, minus 1.5 at minus 177. Top Esports, 10-2 against the 10-2 outright, 9-3 against the map spread. Thunder Talk, 3-5 as dogs, 3-5 against the map spread as dogs. 11-6 against kill spread as dogs. Top Esports, by the way, 16-11 against kill spread as favorites, which is actually impressive. Both these teams are under teams, which is notable. 4-13. Against the spread, or against the total for TT as underdogs, 10-17 against the spread for Top as favorites. Both of them around 24 kills as their average kill total. The model liked unders here as well. I didn't end up playing anything because, again, like the macro headwinds currently are working in favor of overs and games have been going over. I also am not quite sure what we're going to see here from Top Esports. I think, you know, they should be motivated to try to chase down JDG for a top seed. With a win here, they would likely clinch a top 4 seed. Like, I don't think Ninjas or FunPlus can catch them. So with a win here, they could take care of business, get 2 buys, and that's the end of it for them. And the last match likely doesn't matter all that much. For Thunder Talk, this is a must win. They're currently 12th. They are 2 matches below 500, but there's a huge cluster of teams in that, you know, 7 to 12 range that are all battling for those last few playoff spots. And if you look at Thunder Talk's schedule the rest of the way, they play Top Esports here, and they play FPX next week. Two very, very tough matchups. It's not likely that they get in, but this team has been playing very, very well recently. I have enough respect for them that I would lean toward the top side of things if you made me pick something here, or the Thunder Talk side of things if you made me pick something here. I would probably look to like onside kill total spreads or kill spreads, like map 1 Thunder Talk kill spread plus 8.5, map 2 Top Esports minus 8.5 kind of deal, right? I would also lean to the unders, but I'm not going to play those again because of the macro headwinds I just mentioned. So no play in this one either. Lean TT map 1 because this is a must win. This is not necessarily a must win for Top Esports, but I do not want to get in the way of Top Esports right now. They are a truck. JDG minus 549 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at minus 135. Weibo Gaming plus 397 on the money line. The plus 1.5 maps is at plus 111. The minus 1.5 is at plus 963. JDG 11-1 as favorite, 6-6 against the map spread. Weibo 1-4 as dogs, 2-3 against the map spread. I do not want anything to do with this Weibo team right now. You know, I've gone to bat over and over and over for this team. I've been saying, like, oh, they're veterans, they'll get it together. They're just not. They just aren't getting it together. They've made a couple switches at jungle. They're struggling. They just can't seem to get any kind of momentum going whatsoever. It's a very frustrating season for them. They still have a lot of talent on this team, but it's aging talent, and I think it's possible that we're witnessing kind of, I don't want to say the end, but just a down season for a bunch of, you know, older players, veteran players. Xiaohu is an all-time great, but straight up, he just hasn't been all that good this season. And, you know, if anything in this matchup, like, I made this, again, this is another one that I made pretty close to market. The model actually shows JDG as a short, you know, a small value. But, you know, Weibo are perilously close to missing playoffs. And it'd be pretty wild to see Weibo, RNG, and EDG all missing playoffs, like these storied organizations. But, you know, it's been a rough season for them all. And right now they're currently in 11th. They absolutely need this win. So I don't usually like fading teams that are in must-win situations. And JDG are not in a must-win situation, but JDG are certainly going to be motivated to lock in a top 2 seed, which they would do with a win here. I think if they win by any amount, they're going to lock in second. So that would be multiple buys for them. And, you know, so JDG does have some motivation here. I would still lean the JDG minus 1.5 maps, even though I hate fading teams in must-win situations, but Weibo really have not shown me enough to want to get involved with this team, and JDG are world-class. They're incredibly good. There's 3 elite teams in the LPL. They are one of them. Weibo have not been elite by any stretch of the imagination. You know, Weibo's, like, economy numbers are actually pretty good, but their early game has not been good, and the only way to really beat JDG is to run them over early. That's like been the only weakness for this team so far this season, and I just don't see Weibo ever doing that. So I would lean JDG minus 1.5 mass, but ended up not playing anything. So, you know, this is probably a good thing. Like, I don't have any plays on this LPL card. That might be a good thing because I've gone 0-10 the last 2 days. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't feel bothered by that. It's a little annoying, especially the Ultra Prime one was a little tilting, but it's probably better because something's not going right for me. We're getting toward the end of the season. The end of the season tends to be a little bit goofy. It's probably a good thing that I don't have any plays on this slate, but I really, like, sincerely, I don't think there's really much meat on the bone here. If you wanted to play these onside, these map onside kill spreads, that's probably the only way to play today, I think. Maybe kill total overs, but I didn't end up playing anything on this LPL slate. Moving on to the LCK, week 9, day 3, we have a super lame match 1. We have Gen G minus 3,800 against Brion Savings, plus 1,700. Gen G minus 1.5 maps is at minus 536. Brion to take a map is at almost 4-1, and the sweep is at almost 33-1. Brion have a history of upsetting Gen G. You know, it's happened a couple times over the last 2 years. But those Brion teams had Oomty on them, and this Brion team has just no balls, as we talked about in the recap the other day. This team is depressing to watch. They do a lot of things right. I do think there's, like, their early game is actually not that bad. We've seen some of these, like, we've seen this from this team. But even when they get leads, they just don't do anything with it. Like, they have not had a significant lead at 20 this entire season. Zero. Zero games with significant lead at 20. They have small leads at 20 in like 45% of their games, which like is respectable. Small leads in 30% of their games, which is, you know, not good either. And they win less than half the games that they have a lead at 20 in. So Gen G, one of the best macro teams on Earth, probably the most fundamentally sound team on the planet right now, like in any league. I think Gen G are probably like your classic textbook League of Legends, you know, good team. They are also approaching, like, you know, all time great metrics right now. Like, they're a top 10 team of all time right now. I think they were like 7th all time or something, maybe 6th. They're very, very good. They're fundamentally sound. Brion are not a team that gets leads and can't close games when they do get leads. I don't see any way Brion win this game unless Gen G full on fuck around. I do think if you, like, don't be betting Gen G here. If you're going to bet anything, bet Brion, because there's a chance we get subs for Gen G. That's like, you could kind of speculate on a substitution and try to get, you know, some line value there. Gen G have already locked up the one seed. They can't lose the one seed at this point. This is the last match for them. This match doesn't mean anything. There's no derivatives up for this match anyway. When they're posted, I will likely be playing kill total overs, even though I don't usually like playing overs in Brion games. I just think there's a very, very strong possibility that Gen G just play with their food here. So if we get like a 22.5 or a 23.5, I'm going to be playing alt overs quite a bit. So they're not up at the market makers. A couple of the square books have stuff, but I'm not actually playing anything in this one. I will probably play kill total overs. Patreon subscribers, check the Patreon. I'll post an update if and when those are posted. Nongshim Red Force, plus 163 on the money line, plus 1.5 at minus 192, minus 1.5 at plus 425 against FearX, minus 201 on the money line, minus 1.5 at plus 156. The plus 1.5 is at minus 596. Nongshim, 1-12 as dogs, 5-8 against the map spread. FearX, 4-0, perfect as favorites. Only 2-2 against the map spread, though. 8-2 against kill spread in those games, although it's only a minus 4 on average. FearX, they've been struggling. They did not look good of late. And they had really been, like, making me question whether or not they were a mid-table team or not. But they kind of got off the schneid last match, had a nice decisive win. FearX probably should be favored here. I know, like, Nongshim are chippy, and they have these games where they look great. But there's other games where it's like, man, like, the games that they look good, they actually look legitimate. It's just that those games are few and far between. You know, it's like maybe every fifth game or so. And the rest of the time, they look like pure dog shit. And I think, you know, especially after seeing what they did the other day, like, I don't think teams are going to let them have Smolder. So the Smolder thing isn't going to be a thing. Fear X, the angle I like in this, like, I would, if you made me play a side, I'd probably play Nongshim because they have side choice. Like, I don't really trust Fear X to 2-0. But I think what I like the most in this match is actually the over 25 and AF kills at plus 113. I played that on maps 1 and 2 for one unit each. These are both over teams. Fear X are a bloody team. They play a ton of melee stuff. This is a match that no longer matters because Fear X got eliminated from playoff contention today with the Kwangdong 2-0 win. I liked this kill total even before that elimination happened. I like it even more now that it happened. I'm not going to go super upstaked on this because, you know, actually, you know, I might end up changing my mind and adding more to this, but for now, it's just a one-unit play. Again, Patreon subscribers, check if there's any updates. I will let you know. But both these teams are over teams. This projects as an over. They go over 24.5. You know, I'm playing the alt spread because of the just the macro headwinds, as well as the fact that this match doesn't matter anymore. Normally, I would probably just play the 24.5. But that's what I'm going to be playing for this one. If you maybe pick a side, it'd be Nongshim, but I like the kill total over as a way to play that. It's kind of correlated anyway. So that's it for the LCK. Only plays in one match for the Eastern slate this morning. But any changes to that, I will let you all know. Quickly going through the LEC slate, I'm running short on time here. So we have a lot of derivatives aren't up for these matches. I did the Patreon write-up earlier this morning. I'm recording this about 12 hours later. There is some stuff up now, but I haven't added anything just yet. I will let you know later tonight. Again, Patreon subscribers, check that out. Hate to be beating a, you know, dead horse on that, but broken record or whatever. Anyway, Giant X, minus 107, Rogue, minus 113. This is kind of flipped back and forth favorites a couple times. I think Rogue have looked better than Giant X so far this season, but my favorite play in this match is the under 25.5 kills at plus 109. That's an alt under. I'm playing this for a 1.5x stake. The reason I'm doing this is I know, like, I'm kind of going counter trend here. There's been an uptick in kills. I think Rogue's average or Rogue's mean combined kills per game is being inflated by a couple obscene games in their past, like in the past week. Like in week two, they had 27, 48, and 30 kills. But if you look at the teams they were playing against, they were all like the bloody teams in the LEC. Giant X are averaging just 0.82 combined kills per minute, and they've gone over this total just once since the spring restart. And, you know, I think this number is just being inflated by Rogue having played a couple of the bloodier teams. I do think, I'm aware that there's been an uptick in kills. I'm aware that the patch is bloodier, but with these two teams, like 27.5 is just way too big a number. Like for the entire season, these two teams have gone over this number just like they've gone over 26.5 in just a quarter of their games. So keep that in mind. I just think it's like too big a number. So I played an alt under in that. I'm making sure I actually looked and played the right number. Did I write 25 and it's 26? I'm checking. No, it's 25. Okay. So, yeah. Under 25.5 kills, plus 109, 1.5 units. That's the play there. Next up, we have Team BDS, plus 158 against Fnatic, minus 194. Fnatic, 11-5 is favorites. BDS, 2-4 is dogs. Have not fared well against the elite teams this season. My gut kind of tells me that we should maybe be buying the dip on regular season BDS here. Like when I first looked over the lines for this was the one that stuck out to me. I was like, I feel like I should be betting BDS at that price. Fnatic, you know, the model actually suggested that I bet BDS at this price as well. But if you look at, like, how BDS have looked this season, and if you take out, like, their winter sample, it actually makes this pretty close to market. And, you know, I'd lean BDS moneyline. Didn't ultimately play anything here. I think Fnatic are just in really, really good form right now. You maybe don't want to get in the way of that. That said, I wouldn't be rushing to the window to back Fnatic here either. So, I don't know. I'm kind of talking myself into a BDS play here, but I haven't played anything yet, so no action on this one. Leaning BDS money line. Next up, we have G2 Esports minus 465 on the money line versus SK Gaming plus 345. G2 16-3 is favorites. SK 4-5 is dogs. Keep in mind, SK have only been dogs to G2 and Fnatic for most of the season, and I think BDS one time. SK have looked really, really good. I think since the spring restart, if you look at just the spring, like the first six games that we've seen, it's a small sample. I think SK are probably your third best team, despite their record being, you know, what it is. All their underlying metrics since the spring restart have actually improved on their spring on their winter season, which I thought was very, very good, and they just kind of got bodied in playoffs and didn't finish the regular season strong. I think this number is way, way, way too big, given the form of these two teams right now. It's way too big for a best of one. I know G2 are the best team in the West, but SK are a good, competent team. They're playing very, very well right now. They should not be this big a favorite in a single game, period. The model made this minus 186 for G2, plus 152 for SK. We're getting almost 3.5 to 1 for SK Gaming. This is a slam dunk play. 9.5 kills, a massive kill spread. I played SK Gaming plus 9.5 kills at minus 116 for 1.5 units. I played SK Gaming on the money line plus 345 for 0.5 units. I think this number is just way off. It's just way, way off. And, you know, SK Gaming don't have, like, the most glamorous record. They don't have these, like, trademark wins in their pocket, but they're respectable. And of the middle-of-the-table teams in the LEC, they look the best, and they're playing very, very good League of Legends right now. So, you know, it's so funny. I went back and looked. Back in winter, G2 were minus 306 versus plus 239. And it's even bigger here. They're up to whatever it is now, whatever I just said. I ended up playing SK back then, too. That was, like, the end of January. Didn't end up winning. G2 stomped the match, but it was plus 7.5 kills at the time. It was plus 227 on the money line. You know, we're getting plus 345 now, plus 9.5 kills. I'll take my shots with SK Gaming, especially because I think they're playing really, really well right now. My biggest play on the LEC slate. No, I mean, it's G2. You have to understand that, like, anytime you're getting involved against G2, you could just get embarrassed, but I think the number is right here. It's way, way too big a price. Next up, we have Mad Lions, Koi, minus 109 against Heretics, minus 111. This is basically a pick 'em. It's going back and forth a little bit. There's a little bit of movement on this one. I would lean to, like, the Mad Lions side of things. Actually, no, I lean to the Heretics side of things. I think they've actually looked a little bit better recently. But I also, like, I still think Mad Lions are eventually going to get it together at some point, but they have not looked particularly great. And all their under-the-hood metrics so far through the spring split are suggesting that their record actually is deserved. It's not like they're just losing games that they should win or anything like that. They just haven't been all that good. You know, they have a sub-1600 agnostic economy so far in the spring. They've lost a lot of games, which is influencing that over a small sample. But, you know, teams that are sub-1600 are usually just not good. I find it hard to believe that they stay this bad after what we saw in spring, but there's also a chance that maybe something got figured out here. Again, no derivatives are posted for this yet. The only play I'm going to have in this is over 1.5 Barons. If you can get plus 125 or better once it's posted, I'm not sure we're going to get that. But the logic there is that we have macro trends working in our favor. Also, both these teams have gone over that at a clip that's far better than market price. So I like that angle as well once they're posted. No plays officially yet. Team Vitality, minus 141 against Carmine Corp, plus 116. Vitality, this has been a tale of two teams. Vitality in winter were very much playing to the names on their roster. This was a very volatile team. You look at the players on this team, they are volatile players game to game, so it made a whole lot of sense that they were a volatile team. Since the restart, they've been fairly consistent. It's kind of amazing, and I think the market's kind of having a tough time to price that. It's obviously a short sample. It's over six games. Anybody can get hot or look good over six games or vice versa, but I think this Vitality team has just been better. I know, like, Carmine Corp have been a really difficult team for the market to price. It seems like the market just way overreacts to, like, every little thing that happens with Carmine Corp. They've been a really, really bizarre team to observe in the market this season. Because they go from, like, overvalued to, like, they lose a game that they probably should have won, and then the market's like, oh my god, they're terrible. It's really, really bizarre. Like, the swing trades you could get done with Carmine Corp games are wild. I don't know if that's just more liquidity on these matches or what, but it's very, very strange. You know, I still don't really know what to think of this Carmine Corp team. Like, their under the hood metrics suggest that they've improved quite a bit, but they're not getting the wins home, and they're still fundamentally not a very good team. Like, they make a lot of really, really stupid mistakes, even though they're immensely talented. So, and Vitality have been pretty consistent. Like, I would actually lean the Vitality side here. The model actually made this a pick 'em. But again, like, Carmine Corp's sample size is, like, super, like, all over the place. And I just think this is one where it's, like, more art than science. Like, I think Vitality have passed the eye test a lot better so far in spring than Carmine Corp have. Like, Carmine Corp still haven't fixed a lot of their issues. So, you know, I believe that they're improving, but they still haven't fixed a lot of things. So I'd lean to the Vitality side of this, but I didn't ultimately play anything. This is another one that I'm probably going to be playing over 1.5 Barons. If you can get minus 120 or better once it's posted, this is another one where these two teams just go over this clip at better than market price, like, combined. So especially especially Carmine Corp. Carmine Corp have gone over 1.5 Barons in 2/3 of their game, and Vitality have gone over it in 5 out of 6 games so far since the restart, the spring season started. So I like that over Baron play. Macro headwinds work in favor of that play as well, but I didn't ultimately play anything. I will, again, update the Patreon once I have any plays for these derivative markets, probably later on tonight when I get a chance to. That's going to be it for me. Best of luck. Enjoy March Madness. Enjoy your weekend. I will be back later on tonight, actually probably tomorrow, with a post for the Saturday slate. Everyone have a good one.